American Radio.
If they want to take my guns, they're going to have to bring a station wagon and a whole lot of friends, because I'm not giving them anything.
From the Crossbreed Holster Studios.
Mark, we know they want to take our guns, and now we're going to make them eat it.
We're in our second decade on this Lead Slinger's microphone.
Freedom might be an uphill battle sometimes, but freedom will always prevail.
Proudly presented to you by X Insurance.
X Insurance.
Here is your host of Armed American Radio, the loudest conservative voice in America fighting for your rights, Mark Walters.
Inside Armed American Radio's Monster Cast Crossbreed Holster Studios on this Lead Slingers. This Lead Slingers whiskey microphone is powerful, and it's growing every day. We've got new stations to tell you about. We'll get to that at some point during the program today. Oklahoma's added a couple, I do believe, somewhere around the country. Great stuff. If you're tuned in on one of the 200-plus radio stations around the country, you know we love you. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it very much. If you are watching us on the Facebook live stream, which you can do, by the way, don't do it while you're driving, okay? Save that for the liberals who can't figure it out. Just make sure you pull over to the side of the road. Facebook.com/Armed American Radio. Facebook.com/Armed American Radio. And you can watch us live 6 days a week. Make sure to like and share the post, create some watch groups, and have some fun, because we are here in the Armed American Radio Video Network studios for you as well. And, of course, this is the Crossbreed Holster Studios. And all of this is being brought to you, presented to you by X Insurance. Make sure to check out xinsurance.com and get yourself a real insurance policy. Okay. Isn't it time you got real? Get something real, not something you thought you had, but get something real that's custom built for you. X Insurance has your back. More about that later in the program. All right. We're at one of these spots in the week where it's the Sunday show here, the Monster Cast show. So much happens throughout the week. The guest lineup on the daytime show was just stellar this past week, and we keep getting more news. I go back to what my mother said when I first started this program a dozen years ago. Can you really talk about that subject for 1 hour a week? Well, we don't have enough time, 3 hours together today, plus an additional 5 days a week for an extra hour each day. It's just not enough time. So what we're going to do in here is we're going to forego a monologue. We've got a lot of news to talk with you about today, so we're going to jump right over to Mr. Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. Mr. Alan Gottlieb, how the heck are you? Welcome inside the studios with me.
I'm
it's
doing
always
great,
a pleasure,
Mark.
My friend. You ready?
I'm doing great, thank you. Yes.
All right. Let's start with this. There's big news with the Rodriguez case, the Second Amendment Foundation case, San Jose, California. Can you update us on this with all the talk of SCOTUS and everything? What's happening here?
Well, this is a case that the foundation has in front of the Supreme Court right now. We're trying to get a cert petition granted to actually have an oral argument and hearing and a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. And last week, it came up at the conference committee for the Supreme Court, and the judges decided to hold it over and keep it and not reject it. And again, now next week, there'll be another conference, and our hope is to either take our case or hold it over again. The more they hold it over, the better chance we have of getting it taken anyway. And I think that right now it's a court in flux and only 8 judges and waiting for a new 9th justice. My guess is that the best we can ask for is to be held over, which would be great. We just don't want to be dismissed. Right now, the Second Amendment Foundation is the only Second Amendment case before the U.S. Supreme Court that's been fully briefed.
Now, but this was the case. I want to go back. Listeners, longtime listeners will probably remember this, and I want to make this clear. The court really didn't make a decision in conference on this, which is why this is happening now, right?
Well, they didn't make a decision to take the case, but they didn't make a decision to reject the case. So they made the decision to hold it over and keep it, which is a customary standard practice when there are judges that are interested in hearing a case and not dismissing out of hand. As you know, 99% of the cases before the court get dismissed right out of the box. And right. So the fact that we didn't get dismissed out of the box means that, you know, we have at least one or many more judges that really want to hear this case.
And let me go back to a press release, listener, for your benefit. The Second Amendment Foundation is being joined by the California Gun Rights Foundation on behalf of plaintiff Lori Rodriguez. Her firearms were seized in 2013 after her husband was taken to a hospital on a mental health issue. A San Jose police officer at the time advised Rodriguez he had authority to seize all firearms in the residence, including those belonging solely to her, which were all locked in a California-approved compliance safe. The guns were seized without a warrant and over Rodriguez's objection. The case has been making its way through the lower courts now for over 7 years, even though the courts recognize that Lori Rodriguez could legally purchase new firearms. San Jose authorities simply refused to return the gun she already legally owns. Last summer, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is changing, by the way, upheld a lower court's decision to grant summary judgment to the defendants, ruling the defendants were allowed to seize their guns under a concept called community caretaking. Now, Alan, to quote you, you said this case is a travesty. Lori Rodriguez is not a criminal, nor is she prohibited by law from owning firearms. Yet she's essentially been robbed by the city of San Jose and its police department with the cooperation of lower courts, including the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. When you see something like this, I know you very well. I know that this is going to frustrate you beyond words. It had to frustrate you. Obviously, that's why you moved forward with it. But this is so egregious, Alan. It's not even funny.
Yeah. Well, Mark, to be honest, it didn't frustrate me. It infuriated me.
Yeah, there
and, you know, and it made me very angry. They've admitted in court that she's allowed to own guns. She could just go buy new ones if she wants, but they won't give her back her own legitimate seized property that was stored probably properly, and they admit it was. I have a feeling, it's been a lot of years it's been going on in this, I had this feeling that the San Jose Police Department either destroyed the guns or somehow they got misappropriated, and who knows where they are, and that's why they can't return them, and they don't want to admit to that. So this is going to get very, very interesting all the way down the line, and I really believe the Supreme Court's going to hear this case.
Well, that's good.
I just really feel it in my gut.
Would that would tell me then that that's going to lead to another case if they in fact did destroy those guns? They're going to be. I mean, I'm going to assume that Lori Rodriguez is not going to walk away and say, "Okay, well, thanks for admitting it." And we'll just let it go. I mean, I would assume that she would go after them for her property back or some remuneration, would she not?
Well, not only that, but we're going to go. If that turns out to be the case, we're going to go for punitive damages as well.
See, this listener, when you hear, and I quote, SAF has been winning firearms freedom one lawsuit at a time, but now we hope to do it four lawsuits at a time. Alan was referring to, of course, the press release, so we won't get into all that. What I will tell you is that approximately 85% of pro-rights case law that has been won across the country has been won by Second Amendment Foundation cases in cases like this, just egregious things that, as Alan said, frustrating, probably a bad word, infuriating, more like it. Alan, I got a question for you. You know, we know the Supreme Court only takes about 1% of the cases or less than 1% of the cases that come up before it in conference. Because I know you're getting pounded on all day long for cases. Do you have a percentage of cases that you look at and take in an overall percentage basis? I don't think I've ever asked you that before.
No, you never asked me that, and I've never really considered that. We try to take every case that we think has merit, period. Even if we can't afford at the time that we're taking it to be able to fund the lawsuit, we take it anyway because we don't want to miss the opportunity or stop the other side from you know, using the courts, using laws against us. So we pretty much take everything that we really feel has really, you know, good chance to win. Based on the fact that the priorities become those that are going to make case law, those that are going to take laws off the books, rather than just as an applied where, you know, a person, they find that a person was aggrieved, but they won't remove the law because they say the law is okay, but, you know, the way it was enforced was not. We take some of those. We don't take as many as those because we really want to make case law. We really want to get anti-gun laws off the books.
So it's okay. That makes perfect sense to me. In the essence of time, I'd love to ask you more about that. But in the essence of time, let me jump quickly to Biden. Biden has now made some very, and I'm going to use the word again, egregious statements about how you, our families, American citizens, have no right to know what he wants to do with the Supreme Court or why he or what justices he would put on. To me, that's an almost unheard of level of arrogance from an individual who is attacking a sitting president who is, in fact, putting a Supreme Court justice nomination up on the for the nomination up for a vote through the Senate right now. We know, and he's already listed his. What does that tell you about Biden in regards to both packing the court and his failure to tell us who he would put on the court?
Well, first of all, I want to fault the media for not holding his feet to the fire on this and demanding answers. The media has put him into the candidate protection program. But it just shows to show Biden has been coming from the position all along that the Second Amendment doesn't guarantee you any rights. It's only a privilege. And he has said that in past before, and we're not going to let him get away with that. And so that's all part of the problem here. But, you know, again, in all honesty, the fact that the media will not hold his feet to the fire and demand answers for this, it's just absolutely disgusting. I mean, they'll talk about, did you know, Trump wear a mask, or did he not do this or not do that? When it comes to real constitutional rights and real, you know, justice for us, knowing who Supreme Court justices are going to be, they don't even ask the question.
When we come back with Alan Gottlieb, I want to ask him about packing the court. I want to get his opinion on this. And then we're going to let him go, and we're going to bring in Mr. Rob Pincus quickly for the second half of the next segment so we can talk about his upcoming rally. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
It's well known that we live in a world where even good police officers can become targets for frivolous lawsuits. At X Insurance, we provide liability insurance for police officers to eliminate your exposure and to protect you. We're the very best at what we do, and we've been doing it for more than 40 years. We offer same-day quotes and solutions, so call us today or have your insurance agent call us. But call today, and let's get that target off your back. For more information, visit xinsurance.com. That's xinsurance.com.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey. Who laid down their lives and their fortunes forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by 7 combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
Defender Coffee was created by patriots for patriots. It's coffee for Americans devoted to defending the Second Amendment. It's coffee for Americans who understand that if you don't fight for your freedom, you lose it. That's why Defender Coffee donates profits to gun rights organizations that fight to defend the Second Amendment. When you drink Defender Coffee, every single cup defends your right to keep and bear arms. Visit DefenderCoffee.com today and get free shipping when you join the coffee club. DefenderCoffee.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012. 454-7012.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
We'll be right back. Dr. Sebastian Gorka, letting you know that the Desperado Sport Fishing Crew in Virginia Beach, Virginia, supports Armed American Radio and our right to bear arms. Now, back to Mark Walters.
Okay, thank you. Well, a few technical difficulties, so I'm just going to jump right in. Mark wanted me to talk a little bit about the court packing and what the Democrats are trying to do to make sure that they get anti-gun judges onto the bench. And it appears that Vice President Biden is totally refusing to say if he's for or against court packing. Initially, he said he was against it way back when, but now that the anti-gun left has jumped in on it, Biden is now taking a position that he's not going to tell us, because if he told us, it would become a news story.
Alan, can you hear me okay? We're good to rock and roll here?
Yes, I can.
Okay. He should be telling us that. He's not telling us that. So let's go to the packing now. We're hearing a lot about that. We know it's been tried before. The Democrats have wanted to do it before. If you had to give us one reason why they would want to fill the Supreme Court with justices that are sympathetic politically to their causes, it would be what?
Well, they want to legislate from the bench. They want to be able to pass laws and make sure that, you know, those laws get rubber stamped by a fraudulent court, so to speak. And that's what they're up to. You know, I find it really interesting that you had Biden the other day come out and say that it's totally unconstitutional for Trump to have this judge right now, Judge Barrett, confirmed. And I'd love to know, if you think it's really unconstitutional, why doesn't he go to federal court and try to stop it? And the reason is because he can't, because it's not unconstitutional. He's lying again.
You know that. He knows that. We all know that. And I think by virtue of the fact that he won't let America know what he wants to do, pretty much says it all. Alan, I'm going to let you go. We've got Mr. Pincus on the other line. We're going to talk with him about the rally. Did you want to put an exclamation point on anything, sir?
Yeah, get out and vote and get working for candidates right now, because it's only a few weeks away. Depending on what our rights are going to be, now is the time to be extra involved. Please do it for me and for the cause.
SAF.org. Join us over there. A life membership's $150. We'll take $15 for an annual membership, but we'll take your couch change as well. Thank you, Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation and the CCRKBA Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. All right, let's jump over because we have limited time. Mr. Rob Pincus, ICE Training. Rob, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Mark, great to be on here with you. And as always, a pleasure to hear the insight from Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation, the guy who has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in Washington, D.C. right now.
Let me tell you what, if you walk over and put your hand on Alan's shoulder, you can feel the pulse of the pulse beat going. That's how in tune he is, man. He is, in fact, our voice in Washington, D.C. And let me tell you, listeners, we don't want to lose that voice. All right. That is our ear. To the White House is Mr. Alan Gottlieb, and we need to keep that ear. We lose that, we lose a tremendous, tremendous advantage in what will be a very, very, very bad 4 years. Rob, there's a rally coming up. Tell us about the rally real quick, because we've only got the last half of this segment. Go for it, brother.
Yep, the rally coming up. Alan Gottlieb is going to be one of our speakers. You're on our speaker list as well. We've got over 30 speakers talking about the importance of celebrating and defending the rights protected by our Second Amendment. People can learn more about it and sign up for updates, as well as the link to the live feed on October 24th. You can learn about that at secondamendmentrally.com. It's Rally for Your 2A Rights on Facebook, and it's at 2A Rally on Instagram. But secondamendmentrally.com is the place to go. You're going to be able to see our speakers list again this year. Because we're virtual, obviously we'd rather be on the Capitol grounds again like we were last year, but because we're virtual, we've been able to add a few speakers. So we've got 34 speakers now on our committed list. We're probably going to have a couple of surprise guests. And what we're going to be doing is a little bit of a combination. You know, Gun Rights Policy Conference this year was virtual, and they pulled it off incredibly well. AMCON was virtual. They pulled it off incredibly well. AMCON was all live. GRPC was all recorded. We're blending those two approaches. We're going to have a live broadcast event with hosts introducing each speaker, making sure we interact with the comments, getting the important points out, reading the feedback, interacting with different people and different speakers, as well as recorded speeches coming in from all over the country, and most importantly, all over the thought diversity map when it comes to the Second Amendment. People from every conceivable demographic, gender, lifestyle, political background that believe in our gun rights, speaking to the entire American population, regardless of what side of that fence you're on, trying to convince people that there are a whole bunch of different ways to look at the Second Amendment. All of them are important. Of course, how important is this a week before the election, reminding people this should be a factor when it comes time to vote?
You know, we've all had to learn to do things virtual, Rob. Okay, you and I've had to learn to do things virtual. You mentioned the GRPC was virtual. If you don't own stock in Zoom right now, you might have missed the boat. I don't know, but it's still going up. The whole world is doing this now. So I'm kind of excited to see. Well, I was excited to see what happened with the Gun Rights Policy Conference. And Rob, you know, they had over, I think, 6,000 registrants, which is six times what they've had over the previous years. Have you seen anything like that? I mean, I know this is in its infancy, but nonetheless, have you seen, you know, what are the numbers look like compared to what we might have seen if it were really boots on the ground?
Well, so what's interesting is that I don't want to pretend that we wouldn't rather be in D.C. We'd rather be gathered there. We'd rather be getting the best of both worlds, because obviously all the virtual stuff can happen in the background of a live event. But here's what I've seen. It doesn't. When people are focused on a live event, they're caught up in the moment. They're listening to the speeches. They're engaged with each other. You're standing in the hallway at GRPC. You're going down to the bar after the event's over, or you're in the crowd clapping and high-fiving and listening to the speaker. You're very, very engaged in that moment, and it gets lost on all the people you could possibly share it with. For a lot of people, by the time you go back home, you go back to work, and then if it's old news and you move on and it's too late to share it. And I think some of that momentum gets lost. What's beautiful about a virtual event, and it happened with GRPC, it's going to happen with the 2A rally, while you're watching a speech, you can hit share. While you're watching a speech that inspires you, you can screenshot it, you can screen capture it, you can share it with everybody in your social media world. You can put it on a blog, you can put it on a website. And that's really powerful. And that's what we're counting on to make this 2A rally incredibly successful. And next year, you know what? People will have learned. And I think people will have learned for GRPC. You can do both. You can be there in person, and you can reach so many more people through that virtual network. It's really important, and it's really powerful.
You know, I'm with you. I like boots on the ground, too. But I think you're going to see a change at GRPC. Of course, listeners, if you don't know, I don't mean to talk inside baseball with you. Let me clarify. That's the Gun Rights Policy Conference. It happens every single year. It's the single most important gathering of gun rights activists, the movers and shakers, who set the tone for the fight for gun rights going forward for the next 12 months. Alan Gottlieb and the CCRKBA and the Second Amendment Foundation, the SAF, have been hosting that now for 35 years. Next year will be its 36th year in operation. And, Rob, it's important, I think, that people understand and have found out that it can be done virtually, and the reach is just ginormous. Rob, real quick, 30 seconds, where can people go to learn more about it?
SecondAmendmentRally.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram, SecondAmendmentRally.com. Put your email in there. You're going to get the links. You're going to be able to see it across all platforms, all spectrums, and it really is going to be one of the most diverse series of advocate speeches you're ever going to see virtually for the Second Amendment, and then maybe you'll want to be in person in 2021.
October 24th. Thanks, Rob, for jumping in here, man. We're going to hear it there. See, the timing was perfect. It's not like we've never done this before, right? All right, I'll be back with Dr. John Lott. We're going to talk a little bit about his book, Gun Control Myths. We're going to talk a little bit about the court packing and all kinds of fun stuff with Dr. John Lott, author of More Guns, Less Crime. That's who you know him from. We'll be back after this. Don't go away.
America was founded through the blood of hard-fighting, hard-drinking men. Men who believed in freedom and whiskey, who laid down their lives and their fortunes, forging the bedrock of this republic, and in doing so created a new species of man, the American. Lead Slinger's Whiskey was founded by seven combat veterans who were tired of people afraid to support the Second Amendment. Together, they brought their love of American bourbon whiskey to freedom-loving, like-minded Americans. For more information and to read the story of Lead Slinger's Whiskeys and Rum, visit LeadSlingersWhiskey.com today.
The North American Arms 32 NAA Guardian Pistol, designed in partnership with Convor Ammunition. The 32 NAA fires a cartridge based on the 380 case, but necked down to hold the smaller 32 bullet. The result is a remarkable gain in ballistic performance that produces more velocity, energy, and stopping power than any conventional 32 ACP, 380 ACP, or 380 ACP plus P. The 32 NAA from North American Arms. For more information, please visit NorthAmericanArms.com. That's NorthAmericanArms.com.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
It's Andy Hoosier, the voice of reason on KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, and you're tuned into the Armed American Radio Network. Now let's get back to the man himself, Mark Walters.
He'll be calling right now. He said he was waiting. All right, guys, what's going on? Armed American Radio's monster broadcast here in the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Up on this Ledslinger's microphone, man, it gets more powerful every single week. Those of you who are watching on the Facebook stream, that stream did go down. It might not have gone down, I don't know, but you're not getting any sound on it right now because of an issue over there. But you get some video, and that's okay. Make sure to check us out, Facebook.com/Armed American Radio, Facebook.com/Armed American Radio. All right, this half hour, we're going to talk with a good friend of mine, good friend of yours, good friend of all of ours. If you're talking about now the right to keep and bear arms, it's really hard, besides maybe Alan Gottlieb, to think of anybody else who's out there just telling the truth. And we've been talking with John here on the program for many, many years, and I'm looking forward to bringing him back to you right now. It's Dr. John Lott, author of lots of books, More Guns, Less Crime. Of course, you know him as that. And, of course, his latest book, which is, and I've got this, I don't know if you read it or not, but we'll talk with him about his latest book. We'll talk with him about crimeresearch.org. John Lott, how you doing, my friends? Good to have you here.
Doing great. Thanks very much for having me on.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Gun control myths, how politicians, the media, and botched studies, quote unquote, have twisted the facts on gun control. I have notes taken all over the book in highlighter and pen. I've marked it up. It looks like a textbook. And I'm actually, I don't have my hard copy with me because my wife took it with her so she could read it. So I'm on the Kindle edition that doesn't have all my notes taken up on it. But John, in chapter two, you go through a number of gun control myths in the book. And I think it's important. I want to cover this book with you now because gun control is moving back into the issue or back as an issue. The left is trying to make it an issue now, at least in certain markets and demographics around the country. We'll talk about that in a minute as well. I'll get your thoughts on that. But there are myths out there, and there are truths and facts out there, and no one knows them better than you. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. Yeah, well, the book Gun Control Myths goes through 36 different types of myths that we hear all the time in the media, many of them that I think make a huge difference in the gun control debate, and I think they actually, many of them, endanger people's lives. Everything from questions involving mass public shootings to questions involving the relationship between guns and suicide. There are lots of issues that are there, and Chapter 2 tries to deal with a lot of types of issues in kind of short form, and then some of the later chapters go through some of the longer issues that are there. But if there's particular ones you'd like to talk about, I'm happy to talk about them.
Oh, gosh. You know, what always gets me is because I've done a lot of media, for example, and I'm just going to go from memory with the book. I've done a lot of media overseas. It seems like every time we – anytime they're – British, BBC, they're fascinated by American gun culture. There's a couple reasons, I think, for that. And there's some interesting dynamics because you've been on a lot of those programs as well with Piers Morgan and others. And I have as well, both on radio and television over there. And what I've always found interesting and where they always attack Americans, and you cover this in the book if I'm not, I think it's number 7 or number 8, but the BBC claim about attacks in the U.S. becoming deadlier and deadlier and deadlier, and they fail to mention any attack that happens over on their side of the pond. What gives with that?
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's this impression generally that the United States is somehow unique in terms of mass public shootings. And, you know, that's simply not true. We make up about 1% of the world's mass public shootings, but we make up almost 5% of the world population. So we're well below the world average. There are lots of countries in Europe, France, Finland, Norway, Switzerland, Russia, major countries, plus lots of smaller ones like Serbia and what have you, that have much higher fatality rates per capita for mass public shootings than we have in the United States. It's just that a lot of these attacks just don't get very much news coverage. And even when they do get news coverage, it's maybe just a short story or so. I mean, if you take the issue of where the most deadly attacks have been, they haven't been in the United States. You had 130 people killed in the concert shooting in Paris in November 2015. If you ignore the bombing deaths in Norway in 2011 and just look at the shooting deaths, there were 67 people that were killed there. Both of those were more deadly than any mass public shooting that we've had in the United States, including either the Las Vegas or the Pulse nightclub attack. You know, it's you could go on, but it's just it's really my own guess is that the debate that we have right now over gun control would be dramatically different if just a couple things were different in terms of the reporting. One was to mention that when these attacks occur in the United States, they keep on occurring in places where guns are banned, these gun-free zones. 94% of the mass public shootings in the United States and all the mass public shootings in Europe take place in areas where guns are banned. You have mass public shootings in Switzerland, but the mass public shootings that you have there have basically taken place since 2000, and they've all taken place in government buildings where guns have been banned by people. You know, the other thing is just, you know, the successful mass public shooters are the ones that go to these gun-free zones. But one of the chapters I have in the book goes through mass public shootings over 5 years, showing literally dozens of cases where police have said that mass public shootings were stopped by citizens with permanent concealed handguns. But these cases just don't get national news coverage. I would think that if some of those cases, I mean, there's really only about 2 cases in the last 5 years that have gotten national news coverage, and the media managed to botch both of those stories. And my guess is if once in a while, they also gave, and some of these are dramatic. So you have something like the Pulse nightclub shooting. A few people would know that a week after that, there was another attack at a nightclub, but this time in South Carolina. The attacker there had shot three people, was shooting at a fourth person when a person with a permanent concealed handgun seriously wounded the attacker and stopped it. The difference between Florida's Pulse nightclub shooting and the one in South Carolina was that Florida is one of 10 states that bans permanent concealed handguns in places that get most of their revenue from alcohol. South Carolina is one of the 40 states that allows it. And the fact that somebody with a permanent concealed handgun was there and was able to stop it, you know, I just think that those stories would make a huge difference. So you take something like the Parkland shooting. Just a few months after that, there was an attack at a get-together for an elementary school. You had hundreds of students there as well as their parents. A man came in, was firing his gun. Fortunately, it wasn't on school property. It was at a park next to it. And a vendor there with a permanent concealed handgun was able to seriously wound the attacker and stop the attack. Police have said that literally, you know, dozens of people would likely have been killed if the vendor hadn't been there. But yet those two stories really only got local news attention in either South Carolina or Florida.
And that's not unusual. They generally only do get local news attention. I know we're getting ready to take a break here in about a minute or so, and I don't want to I guess I'll get started with you. Forgive me in advance for having to cut you off. But I think this is important because since you've written the book, there have been some massive changes just over in the last 12 months. For example, number five, you have it's New York Times gun ownership. This is a myth. Gun ownership in the U.S. is declining and only 32% quote unquote of households have guns. And we know that those numbers are off the chain. And you've also recently reported something else. I'm going to give you a hint on the next question. But we've got now 19.8 million, I think you said, concealed carry permit holders in the United States.
19.5 million.
19.5 million. That number is growing. And again, that doesn't take into consideration the 16 states or 17 states, depending on how you want to look at it, relative to constitutional carry of people that are carrying guns. So I'm going to ask you this. Take this to the break, and then I'm going to have to rudely cut you off. Is gun ownership in the U.S. declining, as the left would like us to believe?
No.
I'll leave it right there. The timing was absolutely perfect. I'll be back with John Lott, the book, Gun Control Myths. Okay, and get this, how politicians, the media, and botched studies have twisted the facts on gun control. CrimeResearch.org is the site. We'll be back right after this with John Lott. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
Hey guys, in a crisis, communication is critical to survival. Without power for your phone and other devices in an emergency, how do you alert emergency responders or call friends and relatives to tell them you're safe or call them to see if they're safe? These are the actual questions that many people had to answer after the destructive derecho storm swept through the Midwest, the derecho storm. And it doesn't take a derecho storm to get there. Snow, ice, wind, earthquakes, fires, everyday accidents, they can knock out power in an instant without any warning. That's why we shouldn't have been surprised when the Extreme Power Bank became our best seller over at Pulse TV for 2020. But even we were in shock to have sold over 15,000 in under 3 days. Our customers couldn't get enough. Good news, our Extreme Power Banks are now back in stock. But if these sell out again, it could be months before we get more in stock. If you're ready to take charge and look out for yourself and your family, visit PulseTV.com/armed. That's PulseTV.com/ARMED. You'll be glad you did.
It's well known that we live in a world where even good police officers can become targets for frivolous lawsuits. At X Insurance, we provide liability insurance for police officers to eliminate your exposure and to protect you. We're the very best at what we do, and we've been doing it for more than 40 years. We offer same-day quotes and solutions, so call us today or have your insurance agent call us. But call today, and let's get that target off your back. For more information, visit xinsurance.com. That's xinsurance.com.
Our Second Amendment rights are under attack like never before, and we need you to take action now. The 2020 Democrat candidates have declared war on your right to keep and bear arms. Joe Biden supports gun prohibition and confiscation of your guns. Anti-gun billionaire Michael Bloomberg has vowed to spend millions to support Biden, and his number one policy issue is to take away your Second Amendment rights. It is urgent that every American show your support for our right to keep and bear arms. Please call 800-497-4775 to sign our petition in support of President Trump and your Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to defend our right to keep and bear arms, and it starts with your phone call to 800-497-4775. President Trump has protected our Second Amendment rights, and we need to show we support his presidency. 800-497-4775. Paid for by American Political Action Committee PAC, which is responsible for the content of this message.
You've helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back to you, my listeners. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the new radio listener specials. Mike heard me talk about his pillows on air and joined us on Armed American Radio. I'm getting a much better night's sleep, and you can get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattresses, toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, right now they're bringing back the buy one, get one offer for the MyPillows. That's right. Buy one MyPillow, get another one absolutely free. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code AAR or call 800-978-9358 for these great radio specials.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
The following segment of Armed American Radio is being brought to you by Defender Coffee. When you drink Defender Coffee, you're making a donation to a gun rights organization of your choice that protects and defends your freedoms. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show indeed. Armed American Radio's Monster Cast on the Lead Slingers Whiskey Platinum Microphone in the Crossbreed Holster Studios for you. All of it being presented to you by X Insurance. X Insurance. I have an X Insurance policy that was custom built for me for conceal carry, and we're working now on bridging some gaps in my homeowners where my firearms kick in. It's beautiful stuff because you can't do it as a member benefit for some of these programs that you might have that you think you have. This is a real policy that's written directly for you, and that is incredibly important. We'll talk about that more later in the program. Let's go back to my guest right now, Dr. John Lott. John, welcome back to the program, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. We're talking about John's book, Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. John, in the previous second, I was mentioning, and you gave me just a quick answer, is gun ownership in the U.S. declining? Clearly, we know it's rising. We know that NICS checks are at record highs. We know now with the fear going on around the country in a number of Democrat-controlled cities, we're seeing anarchy in our streets, and people are rightfully so frightened. Now, here's another gun control myth. That where there are more guns, there's more crime. And we look at cities with strict gun control, like Chicago, for example, and we know, we've talked about this place for years, other cities that are Democrat-controlled, St. Louis, Baltimore, I could go on and on and on. Now New York City, the number is up in triple digits with homicides by firearms in some of these cities. Can you tell us what's going on here? Because it seems to debunk their myths all over again.
Right. Well, I mean, it's pretty easy to go and explain why you have the high crime rates in New York increasing or in Chicago or places like that. And that is, you're just not arresting criminals. You're not punishing them. In Chicago, only 20% of murders result in an arrest. Nationwide, it's over 70%. You know, and many of those aren't prosecuted or convicted in Chicago. So, you know, and for gang murders, they're less likely to be solved than even other types of murders that are there. And so if you don't make it risky for criminals to go and commit crimes, guess what? You're going to see a lot more crimes. And, you know, obviously there have been problems with arresting and convicting people recently in New York. And so you see a lot more crimes there. They disbanded the undercover unit that dealt a lot with gangs. So you see more gang crime that's occurring in New York City. So, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to kind of explain what's going on there. Police are extremely important. Anybody who's read my academic work knows I think police are the single most important factor for reducing crime. And, you know, normally police understand themselves, even though they are very important, that they do understand that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crime's occurred. But that's in normal times. I mean, now we're in a world where police are being ordered to stand down. Police budgets are being cut. You have jails across the country from places like Chicago or Los Angeles or San Francisco where anything between a third and a half of inmates are being released from jail. You know, it's kind of a perfect storm for crime out there. And, you know, one of the ironies is in Minneapolis, where the city council voted to disband the police to replace them with social workers, the city council has voted to provide armed private security for those city council members who desire it. They're spending $7,000 per week per city council member who wants it to provide armed private security. So they understand in their own personal lives the benefits from having armed private security. But they apparently don't appreciate the fact that there are lots of poor people who live in Minneapolis, who live in high crime areas, particularly minorities, who would love to have those types of same vouchers for themselves so they could go and hire armed private security. Of course, the option for them would be to let them defend themselves. And yet those same city council people, you know, oppose people having permanent concealed handguns.
Except for them. Except for them. I'd love to know the numbers on how many of them have it. Let's go to one that always has irked me, and you wrote about it in the book, because you hear this a lot from the left. We have a model for regulating guns. Automobiles. I mean, come on. We register our cars. Why can't we do the same thing for guns, John?
Right. Well, I mean, if you did do something like that, it would probably actually be a liberalization of our current rules. I mean, people don't have to get a driver's license or register their car if the car is on private property, if that's where they're using it. So in some sense, the driver's license is like a right to carry permit. The thing is, with a driver's license, once you go and get that, you're able to go in and drive your car from, you know, Maine to California, from Washington State down to Florida.
Great point.
You're not able to do that with a concealed carry permit. And so if they really wanted to make a concealed carry permit analogous to a driver's license, then, you know, they would make it so that all the states would be forced to go and honor that permit. But, of course, they're not willing to go and do that.
John, in states where, well, he used the gun control, the gun lobby, the gun control lobby, their argument that in states that have more lax gun laws, police are put at more risk. Police are in a worse off position, that, you know, their lives are threatened more. Aren't we seeing all of these hypocrisies fall apart with what we're seeing happen in these cities across the country right now with this weird era that we live in?
Yeah, it may be hard for people to disentangle the different things, but yeah, no, I mean, I've done research that basically shows the opposite's true. And concealed and police actually appreciate people with concealed carry permits. If you look at surveys of police generally with regard to guns generally, about 76% of police think that private ownership of guns is either extremely or very important in terms of reducing crime. You know, if you talk to police officers in the states where permits are kind of tied in with driver's licenses, like Virginia or someplace, if you get pulled over for speeding and they put your license plate in and it comes up that you're a concealed carry permit holder, if you talk to police in those jurisdictions, they'll say they're actually relieved to know that it's a concealed carry permit holder because they know how incredibly law-abiding those permit holders are. And, you know, they know that they'll be safe with those individuals there. And so, you know, and just in general, as we put out in our latest report at crimeresearch.org, you know, permit holders continue to be extremely law-abiding for any type of firearms-related violation. You're talking about people losing their permits at thousands or tens of thousands of one percentage point. And even the vast majority of those are for trivial things like somebody forgetting to have their permit with them or accidentally carrying a gun into a, you know, a gun-free zone.
Incredible wealth of information from John Lott. His latest book is a great one. And it is. I mean, the last two, three books of John's, I have marked up like textbooks. This one, Gun Control Myths, How Politicians, the Media, and Botched Studies Have Twisted the Facts on Gun Control. It is a read unlike anything John has ever put down in print before. It's right there for you with all the information. It's kind of written in layman's terms for you. It's real easy to make sense of it. And he goes through each and every one of the myths and debunks each and every one of the myths thoroughly for you. Talk about a weapon in your arsenal. This is the thing to have. John Lott, crimeresearch.org. Thank you, sir, for being here. And thank you for everything that you do on behalf of Armed American Radio and all of our listeners, okay?
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you, John. Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. I tell you, man, your guy, John, you know, this guy is a national treasure. I tell you what. Coming up in the next hour, AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News is going to be here. And then we've got a roundtable classic with Neil McKay. Brad Primo is going to be in. And we got a special guest coming in for one segment. Not sure if that's going to happen yet, but I'll keep you posted. We'll be back after the top of the hour. Don't go away.
You've just filled your prescription for freedom with Mark Walters, presented by X Insurance.
X Insurance
on the Armed American Radio Network.